Lord, we love you and praise you. Again, we just thank you that we can be here together and that we can be in your presence and with each other and worship you and open scriptures together and just consider what you have said, what your Holy Spirit is saying to us today, and that, Lord, we would follow after you more closely than ever. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And adults, you can pull out your Bibles. And we are continuing on in a series of messages entitled Everyday Disciple, and with a couple of overarching themes. At the end of my preeminent series a couple of weeks ago, we finished that up with the last message that we talked about. Was a summary, but the week before that, we talked about Jesus as our shepherd, and Jesus said that his sheep know his voice, that those who are of the flock of Jesus, those who follow Jesus, when Jesus speaks, his children, his flock, his sheep know his voice, and that those sheep, will not respond to other shepherds, but we will respond to Jesus' voice. And so today we're going to be talking through this series, all of it really is coming after Jesus as our shepherd and learning how to follow Jesus. And everyday disciple is about following Jesus. And so today we're going to learn to listen to Jesus a little more closely and bring that into our lives on a daily basis. And so I don't know if you've ever wondered, how many of you ever noticed that an event, a leader could talk, and you could have different people responding on polar opposites to that one event or to that one message or respond to that one leader. Some people would love it, some people would hate it. And have you ever just wondered, like, how can that happen? How can things be so polarized and different people see the same thing and yet walk away with such strong and differing opinions on those events? And so that is also true when it comes to Scripture. And how many of you could just say amen? Some people would read Scripture and are like, that is just, you know, gibberish. It doesn't make sense, or it's not real, or whatever. And then some people are like, those are the words of life. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but I think about that. And I, as Jesus said, his sheep know and hear his voice. And so I want to be a learner of Jesus. I want to be able to hear his voice more clearly than ever, because there are so many voices, aren't there? And like, who do you listen to? Who do you know? Who do you trust? What information, what news source, what leader, what politician? If you're looking for a politician to believe, good luck. But so where do you even start? Well, I'm going to suggest you start with Scripture, because I believe that when we're talking about listening to Jesus, he's going to speak to us out of Scripture, and that there's some interesting things that happen when you begin to listen. The first point I want to make is this, that listeners hear. Now, at the risk of being called Captain Obvious, listeners hear. Listeners hear. There's so many voices and so many messages and so much marketing, especially in today's world, that you're just inundated with it. And how many of you have learned to glaze over most information coming at you? You actually have to listen to what's being said to be able to hear that content. It's being there. It's there, but you may not be paying attention to it. How many of you are familiar with what Morse code is? Okay, so Morse code. And some of you younger kids, you probably don't know what Morse code is, but there used to be this technology that they would be able to send sounds like dots and dashes over electric wires, and it could communicate. Morse code was this system of dots and dashes electronically transmitted. And so a person on one side would know that code and would be ticking off that code. And people would be listening on the other wire, and they could decipher that. But there's a pretty famous story about some people who responded to a job opening to become a Morse code operator. And so this one particular guy, he gets to respond to this call, and he goes into the office where everybody is huddled in a room, and there's you know, a dozen other people in there, and it's a noisy office on the other side of the wall, and you could hear like the telegraph machines going and just lots of hustle and bustle, and everybody just sitting there waiting to be interviewed. And so he sits down, and he sits there about 3 minutes, and no one else is moving, and everyone's just trying to, you know, keep busy or whatnot. And then all of a sudden, that guy gets up and goes through the door, and everyone else in the room was like, where did he go? What was that all about? And a few minutes after that, the manager comes out and says, thanks, everybody, for coming, but we just hired this guy. And you can imagine, like, everyone was upset. Like, no one was called in. How did that guy get the job? And I wasn't even interviewed for the job. And the manager's like, oh, just hold on a second. While you guys were sitting here, we were sending out the Morse code. If you understand this message, come through that door. The job is yours. That guy was listening. They all heard, but that guy was listening. And so there is this truth in Scripture, and as I was just pondering this, it almost frustrated me. But there is a confirmation bias built into truth, that if you're listening for the truth, you hear the truth. If you don't want to hear the truth, you don't hear the truth. And this is how Jesus put it. He made a statement, and he repeats it several times, and it's echoed in several of the Gospels. Jesus says this, for to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. So if we want to be the kind of people who follow Jesus, want to hear and listen and obey Jesus, then we have to start with a heart that wants to hear. And that is a repentant heart. A heart of humility that just comes to God and says, God, I want to hear what you have to say to me. I want to follow Jesus. I want to know you and to understand you. I want to give my life over to following you. And God says that those who seek him will find him. So there's a lot of this that has to do with our heart. So the ability to hear spiritually is directly connected to our hearts. That passage of Scripture that I read, that statement that Jesus makes, that for the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. That is in Matthew chapter 13 and chapter 25, Mark 4, and also in Luke 8, 12, and 19. You have to write those down. But let me read to you the Matthew chapter 13 one. Because these are separated into two groups of application to that one phrase. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 11 through 13, let's read the whole thing. He says, and he said to them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance, but from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. So there's this really almost strange phrasing in the Scripture that was repeated throughout the Scripture that says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And the meaning there is if you want to hear God, you have to want to hear God. Now, there certainly are times in Scripture and in our own lives where we were wandering along and not caring about God, and like a meteor, God hits us and we start like, oh, God is real and he is. How many have had those kind of experiences, like bonk, smacking? And the Apostle Paul had such an experience. But generally speaking in Scripture, if you want to hear what God has to say, you actually have to start listening to hear what he has to say. In fact, the passages in Mark chapter 4 and Luke 8 include some interesting way of saying it. He says, pay attention to what you hear in Mark. And in Luke, he says, take care of how you hear. Pay attention to what you're listening to and pay attention to how you're hearing. Isn't that, this, it's a little bit strange, but it makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? We can tune things out or we can tune things in. And the Word of God is the same. God speaks to us in multiple ways, and I want to kind of give us a little bit of a practical list to be thinking about this. The primary way in which God speaks to us today is in His written Word. That's why I had you, pull out your Bibles and turn or tap to this or that passage. And I say that pretty much every week because the Word of God are those 66 books, the Old Testament and the New Testament together, and they teach us what God has said and what, and the digging into and study and continual reading of the Bible is the primary way in which God speaks to us. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, he says this, he says, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. And the Word of Christ is the Scripture. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes through the Scripture. So you can read Scripture, you can have people teach you Scripture, you can study the Scripture. I'm preaching about the Scripture, and this is a continuous habit in the life of people who follow Jesus of getting into the Word. How many have ever heard that expression? That's a total Christian thing to say. Get into the Word. You get into the Word, and the Word gets into you. And so Bible study, and the Bible is full of so many interesting things. There's poetry, history, story, illustration, parables, letters, biographies, visions, prophecies. The Bible is a rich book of books. Bible just means bibliography. There's lots of books, 66 books. And so God has arranged those things to help us understand what He has to say, and we can apply ourselves to it. So the written Word is the first and primary and most objective way of listening and hearing God. The next way is by His Spirit, by His Holy Spirit. God promises us that He will communicate with us spirit to spirit. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 16, tells us this, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That His Spirit bears witness to our spirit. You have a spirit. Your spirit, soul, and body. And your spirit is able to communicate with and to God's Holy Spirit. If, in fact, you have committed your life to Christ, that is an experience that is for Christians, but bearing His Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Another passage that talks about this Holy Spirit communicating with us is found in Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. Let's turn and read that. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. But look, I'm going to come back to that passage in later on, but I want us to focus on that first section, verse 15, where it says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. How many of you have ever had to make tough decisions before and causes anxiety? Yeah? And he says here to let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. That's the Holy Spirit communicating with our spirit what He wants us to know or to do, and it feels like peace. When you have peace after praying over a decision, then you can know that you have the heart of God. And I'm going to take you to another passage, and this is I'm going to read quite a bit in this, and I tried to pare it down several times, and then it just popped back up. Like, you gotta read the whole thing, okay? So if you have a hard time just listening, follow along on the screen or turn or tap to 1 John chapter 2, because we're going to read verses 18 to 29. And this is John was the writer of this, and so he was communicating to Christians about how difficult it was going to be for some people, because there was a lot of opposition against Christianity, and there are a lot of voices coming against it. And he talks about even to the point where it's evil was actually in opposition to Christianity, and that's still true today. That there are counteractive voices in the world that are not just human voices, but also evil voices combating and trying to resist Christianity. And he calls this period of time the last hour. And so in verse 18, we're going to start reading. He says, "Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that this is the last hour." And we've been in the last hour for a couple thousand years. Okay? "But many Antichrists have come," and there's a big A Antichrist coming, but that's what John was warning. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they were not all are not of us. Verse 20, "But you have been anointed by the Holy One, and you all have knowledge." And that's the verse that really brought me to this section. He says, you have an anointing. The King James uses an interesting word. He says, you all have an unction from the Holy One, and you all have knowledge. This is that same idea that the Holy Spirit is the one who brings the convincing, the credential to what God is saying to us, that we have an anointing of the Holy One and we know the truth. When we have the Spirit, we know the truth. In verse 21, it says, "I write to you not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. And who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you heard from the beginning abide in you." Let me say that again. "What you have heard from the beginning, let it abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has made to us, eternal life. I write these things to you about those who are trying to deceive you." Now there's a verse. Verse 27, "But the anointing that you received from him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone should teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about everything, it is true and is no lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in him." How many of you would recognize that in our lives, we have a natural desire for something new? In human beings, some of us more than others. But we like new things. We want something new. We want to see something interesting. We want to learn something different, something new. And there's a lot of information coming our way that is new and promoted as, you know, improved. But John said, hold on to what you received from the beginning, and you will have the anointing, and you will know the truth, and it will not be a lie. We have to be, like, really careful about accepting something that is new and improved when it comes to the gospel. Because John says, you got the truth from the beginning. He wrote that a couple thousand years ago. That's pretty old. Old and enduring. No need of improvement. That anointing, that unction, In Vine's expository dictionary, Vine said this. He says, the passage teaches that the gift of the Holy Spirit is the all-efficient means of enabling believers to possess a knowledge of the truth. So it's your relationship with the Holy Spirit that confirms the truth of Christ in your life, and that is a relational interaction. Another way that God uses his Holy Spirit is through gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, tells us just a verse about what was happening in those early disciples' lives. And they got together and they were worshiping Jesus. And it says this, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So God, by his Holy Spirit, spoke to them of specific and gave them specific instruction as their, you know, a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom or a word of prophecy might do for us today, that the Holy Spirit uses gifts to communicate specific things to us. As I started here, we're going from objective to subjective, because these next couple can be very subjective. The next one, certainly so, but God does use it. God can speak to us through his sovereignty over circumstances. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, here's a verse that sets us up a little bit for that. He says, at the same time, pray also for me that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison. So Paul was asking to pray. He says, pray that God open a door for me. I mean, ever heard that expression before, like open door, closed door. Like I think, man, this would be an awesome direction to go. And you go try the door of that decision or that direction. You're like, that door is locked. And if you have any ounce of patience in you, you can just say, well, the Lord hasn't opened that door for me yet. Or maybe the Lord will never open that door. And it was my own idea. How many of you let's be honest, how many of you ever felt like the Lord told you something and then you tried that door and it was just locked, 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 and you're like, what happened, Lord? So we can continue to take those things into prayer, but sometimes God will use circumstances to move us in directions by his sovereignty, and we can just collectively just sigh and say, I'll accept that, Lord. Sometimes God moves us that way. The final one that I want to list today is, and again, this can also be subjective, but God speaks to us through his people. So other Christians, other believers, I think it's Dave Ramsey, he says this thing often where he says, don't ask broke people how to make money. So if you're asking for advice from other people, look for what you're hoping to learn already in play in their life. But God's people are also part of his plan to help guide us and direct us. There's just a collective amount of wisdom in the people of God. How many of you would also recognize that there is a lot of disagreement in the people of God? Okay, so as I say, we're going from more objective, the scripture, down to more subjective, and I've left the people of God on the bottom of the list. I almost switched people of God in circumstances, but I left it alone. But here's a passage of scripture in Colossians. We've already read this, but in chapter 3, verse 16, he says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Okay? So as we look for people to help us sort out our thinking, our believing, our lives, looking for the wisdom of God, let's go to people that know the word, could teach the word, and have wisdom in their lives. Because he says to do these things, let it dwell in you richly. Which is let the word of God have precedent in your life. Give it first place. And then we're told to boldly encourage one another through the scriptures. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul, again, he's speaking to his young man, Timothy, who was also a preacher. And he tells him, preach the word. This is verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. There again, it's a different way of saying what Jesus said, that he who has more will be given, but he who does not have, that even what he has will be taken away. That if you want to hear, you'll hear more. If you don't want to hear, you'll hear less. But it all is based in the scripture, the word. In a devotional I came across from John Maxwell, he said this, and it was an important reminder about telling yourself the truth. He says, like David, and he was going through a psalm of David. Like David, however, we all have times when nerves fail and fear creeps in. We feel surrounded by adversaries. Telling ourselves the truth, as David did, will heal and comfort us as it did him. The truth of Psalm 57 can serve as our counselor. Successful leaders tell themselves the truth and gain perspective in the midst of volatile emotions. How many have ever had to argue with yourself? Okay. Yeah. Who won? There's a whole part of me that does not believe God. And there's a whole part of me that wants to silence that and believe God. Your circumstances will tend to lead you in a direction of doubting and of fear and of misunderstanding. But the Word of God will inform you and bring comfort to your heart in those circumstances. I went through this week a fairly emotional event where I was like, God, I don't see what you're doing. And I was pretty distressed over it, upset, and like, God, where are you? And all that, you know. And then I decided I would take a nap. The former pastor, Pastor Greg, used to say that sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Amen. As I woke up from my nap, I had the verse in my mind and in my heart, the word of the Lord will not return void. Our hearts are like leaky buckets. We are constantly in need of more water and more of the Word of God, more of the Spirit of God, more of the people of God speaking into our lives and encouraging us and pointing us back to the Scripture. And you say, well, here's my circumstance, and I'm frustrated, I'm worried, and I'm having disbelief. And the Word of God just comes in and just says, God's with you, God's for you, He has a plan for you. You know, He's working things out. Be patient and long-suffering. And we don't want to hear those things, but those are the things that we need to hear because He's not forsaken. And His word does not return void. Sometimes we just need reminded and filled back up, and the Scripture is good for that, and that's what it's there for, and the people of God as well. So listeners here, and in a much shorter but equally impactful or important point is this, that doers discern. Listeners hear and doers discern. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 15 or 14 says this, solid food is for the mature, But those who have the powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Discernment trained by constant practice. I like these kinds of verses because they tell us that we are not always going to get it right. But if we just keep working it out, we'll gain discernment. And so sometimes we might be in a situation where we don't understand the word of God or the voice of God or the circumstances we're in. But what we do is we do what we can do and we are trained in the process. Obey what scripture you know. Apply what verses you know. Be obedient to the voice of God you've heard. And more will be given to you. I have lots of areas I'm waiting for the more. But you be faithful with what you have. I started by saying, repeating a quote from Jesus about those who have more will be given more, and those who have less of that will be taken, and all the sections in the Gospels where Jesus says that, and I told you that those were split into two categories, and the first we talked about was those who are listeners. So if you're a listener, God will speak more. God will give more. If you're not a listener, you'll lose what you even have. The second group and category that Jesus uses that phrase with are with doers. Specifically, it has to do with the parable of the talents, and where Jesus gives talents to his servants, and he says, go and do something with these things, and when I come back, I'll bring you into account. And two of them are faithful. They do with what God had given to them. One did nothing with what God had given to them. And those who did do, more was given, and the one who did not do, what he had was taken. So doers discern. We don't always hear perfectly or understand perfectly, but what we need to do is be obedient to what we do have. And his promise is he'll lead us along the way. Will train us in discernment with constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So built into this is a hearing test. You know, I'm on whatever decade, you know, I got 50 decades, and I'm like, I'm not hearing my wife as well as I used to. I need to go have a hearing test. I'm just messing with my wife. Mostly it's my grandson. And I said, so I went and had my ears test, so you're sitting in a room, and you're supposed to go, you know, whatever. You hear this? Do you hear that? How many of you have the hearing test? Right? I hear it. Yeah, I don't hear, you know, whatever. And I come out and she said, well, your hearing is all within normal range. I'm like, it can't be. But there's a continual hearing test going on with the voice of God and with Scripture. And all you have to do is start listening. Get into the Word. Get around people who will encourage you in the Word. Start training yourself to hear the voice of God. Start being obedient to what you already know. None of us have the whole scripture memorized or perfectly applied in our lives. But as Jesus' followers, we're growing in those attributes. We want to continue to know and do more. So there's a hearing test, but there's also a doing test. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we just draw our hearts in to this moment. And we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us. You'd speak to us through your word as we study it and read it. You'd speak to us through your Holy Spirit as we're listening. You'd speak to us, Lord, even in our circumstances, and that you'd speak to us through your people that you've put around us. And then, Lord, whatever we hear, you'd give us the faith to step and to do, to put it into practice. And even if not perfectly, you'll train us along the way to hear more clearly, to discern more perfectly what you're doing in our lives. Jesus, you said that your sheep would hear your voice and that they would ignore other voices. And I pray for us today, Lord. I pray for us as your sheep, as you as our shepherd. That we'd hear your voice more clearly. Follow you so close. That in that beautiful relationship of you leading us, we walk strongly and confidently. Lord, I pray for your sheep that are not listening. And maybe have begun to listen to other voices. Lord, I pray you'd call them back. Call them back.